Hi, Jill. I have received your email via my assistant, Ben Hui. You did the right thing, because by writing to Ben Hui, and she will systematically submit different requests from people around the world. I read through your email carefully about 2-3 times, and I thought about responding to you through Ben Hui by email, but I thought it would be better if I just speak it and put it on the video. I'm going to put your letter up on my blog, and I'm going to put this video response back on my blog. And the reason for that is very simple. I think the story that you told in your letter to me is a story that would be similar to millions of people around the world. Thousands, millions, tens of thousands. And so if they read your letter, I'm sure they will be able to relate to you and the situation and what happened. And also, my response perhaps could give them some solace. First of all, I wanted to say, I wrote down some notes regarding your video. First of all, I wanted to say that we have some things in common. I am an American also, and I love Buddhism. And the two things that are very important to me are Buddhism and animals. So we're quite similar in that way. Very, very, very similar. So I wanted to just let you know that I can understand what you're saying in your email, and I can relate, and I can feel, and I can definitely 100% understand what you are saying. When I was 7 or 8 years old, I was living in Howell, New Jersey, and my stepmother would like to go to this flea market that was about 45 minutes drive away. And I think it was called Farmingdale Flea Market. I forgot because it's 3 decades ago and I was a child. And anyways, the flea market was huge. It was outdoor, it was indoor. And they sold everything that you can imagine. It was just huge. It was a huge event on Saturdays and Sundays. And I look forward to going to it because, well, it was fun. And I remember one weekend my mother took me there, and we came across a bunch of dogs, puppies that were in a cage. And I was looking at them, and I really fell in love with one dog, and I was begging my mother to get me one. And she did. My stepmother always has been very generous. And so I named a little puppy Princey, and well, I just loved him. You know, I love dogs. I like animals, most animals. I like animals quite a lot. But I really, really love dogs. And Princey was very special because he was my first dog ever. And I kept him inside with me till he got older. When he got older, I still wanted to keep him inside. He wasn't very big. He was a mutt, a mixed breed, and he was small, like the size of a schnauzer. But he was very intelligent and very sensitive and very smart. But my step-parents are from the old country, Kalmykia, you know, Europe and all that. And they field dogs are dogs, and dogs should just be kept outside and treated like dogs. But I didn't feel like that as a kid. Even as a kid, I felt that dogs have feelings. Dogs are cold. Dogs get hot. Dogs are thirsty. Dogs can feel sadness. They can feel all of that. And so I treated Princey as best as I can. But being a small kid, I didn't have much say. So he was kept outside when he got older. And we had a half acre of land, which was pretty big. Unfortunately, it was not gated in. And I begged my parents to gate in our property, but they wouldn't. And one day it was he went missing, and we found out from a neighbor who lived down the street, a very elderly lady, that as she was walking not far from our house, she found a dog that was dead on the street to our description. And when I went there with my father, it was Princey. He was ran over and horribly, and his body was in pieces. But I knew that was him. So it was very traumatic. I took him back and I buried him with my father. And I was very traumatized because it was the first time I experienced death of something that I really loved. Later, my mother got me another dog. And my stepfather named him Halter. Halter is because he had a little mark here. He was a mutt also. And in Kalmyk language, Halter means something that has a little mark here. So Halter was a very strong dog. He wasn't big, but he was bigger than Princey. And he was very, very energetic, and he was quite hyper. So same situation. And when he was young, he stayed with us inside the house. And when he got older, against my protests, he was made to stay outside. And my parents, he was very strong. Like, my parents would get a doghouse for him in the backyard, which was very nice for the trees and green and very big. And we gave him all the leftover food, which was a lot of meat. For Kalmyk people, they like meat and bones. And they used to tie him down with a big chain in the back. But somehow he would always pull the chain out of the ground. And there were many, many occasions that we went to buy bigger chains and bigger chains, and we'd come back and he'd be gone. And so it was very distressful, because many times we'd hear him. We had a little forest area near our house. Many times he would run into the forest area, and his chains would get stuck around a tree or some big shrubs, and he would be wailing and crying and disturbing the neighbors. And that happened many, many times. Again, I begged my parents to please put gates around our house so that Halter can be safe, but they didn't listen. They didn't oblige. And one day, my mother got really, really angry, and I was really in shock, because she called Dog Pound and she had him taken away. Well, I cried, I screamed, I jumped, I protested, I did everything I can. I was depressed for weeks. But to them, he was just a dog, and he was disturbing everyone. To me, the solution was simple, just make a gate. But I was quite traumatized by that. So after that, I vowed to myself, I'm not going to have any more dogs. I'm not going to keep any more dogs. I'm not going to have any more dogs. So that went on for decades. And even if, but when I arrived in India, in the monastery, I had my own place, I had my own land, and I had my own house and my students, and the whole place was gated in. So I decided to have dogs again. And that's when I started keeping dogs again. And when I visited Malaysia more and more, my students in India took care of the dogs till they died a natural death. And they were taken care of very well. They were German shepherds, by the way, the ones in India. So now that I'm in Malaysia, a few years back, about 6 years back, I decided to get a dog, and one of my friends gifted me with a dog. But they would sponsor the dog, but I said that I wanted to go pick the dog. So I looked all over. You know, I went to many pet shops, I went to many places, and I found many dogs, and I bought a few. I had purchased a few, and I gave it to different friends, different people that I knew that would give them a good home. But I didn't find the right one till I came to this very dingy, small kind of place that was out of the way, which I found out by accident through someone. And I found Yogi, or Mumu. And the minute I saw Mumu, I fell in love with him, and I just knew he was for me. And Mumu is a very extremely intelligent dog. I think he is just really above average, because he's extremely easy to train, very cooperative, very cute, very photogenic, and I love him to death. But Momo, since he was young, has had so many numerous medical problems. I never knew dogs can have so many medical problems. And it's been just, you know, year after year of medical problems, from, you know, having fungus on his foot that makes his whole paw swell up and he has to go for a surgery, from skin problems and digestion problems. I mean, you name it. This woman was always having problems. And I was kind of down, thinking, you know, I looked at my other students and people's dogs, and they have no problems. They don't take care of them much. In a sense, they don't abuse them. But, I mean, they just give them this food, that snack. You know, they're not that particular. And the dogs are strong. They're fine. Their skins grow very thick carpet of hair. You know, they just don't have any problems. But Momo, no matter... We even cook his food. You know, we even cook his food to make sure that he is going to get the right nutrition and also the right foods. Even still, he gets sick. The other dogs, they just get dog pellets, and they're fine. And I was kind of thinking, wow, what is this? You know, what's this weird karma I have with this dog? And I thought about it, and I said to myself, you know, I don't regret getting Momo, although he has been a medical nightmare for many years for me. I don't regret getting Momo, because I know that if someone else had gotten him, I don't think they would have gone through the amount of energy, time, and research and treatment that we have done for Momo. And I think he would have suffered a lot and maybe even died much earlier on, because he's had a few near-death kind of problems. And I don't think that, because people around here, they don't, there's not this kind of awareness for dogs where I live, as far as I know, because I've talked to the vets, I've talked to the pet shop owners and stuff. And I'm not trying to say that I'm just such a wonderful dog owner or dog lover, but he's had so many medical problems. So what I'm trying to tell you is, I'm glad he came to me, because I have the capacity and the people and the surroundings and environment to take care of him. And although he may be ill many of the times, I can do my best to make him as comfortable as possible. He doesn't have any life-threatening diseases, but he has problems from time to time that are very, very life-threatening. So in any case, I'm trying to tell you that you felt guilty that your dogs had cancer and that they had died. You felt guilty that perhaps you didn't take care of them, you didn't do something more, you could have done something more. And I think how you're feeling is very natural. I think it's very natural for people to feel that about something that they love, something that's very precious, something that's suffering. And I wanted to tell you that I don't think any of it is your fault when I look at it karmically, when I look at it ethically. I don't think any of it's your fault, because you, from your letter, you genuinely love your dogs to the point of even cooking for them. And I want you to look at it another way. I want you to look at it like, if these dogs had gone somewhere else, would they have even gotten a fraction of the care that you had given them and the love? Whether they stayed with you for 24 hours or they stayed with you for 8 years, would they have gotten that kind of affection and love? And maybe they could have. Maybe it could have been better. Maybe it could have been worse. But you know what? All that is speculation. Karmically, these dogs have some kind of connection to you. And they came to you. And you did your best to take care of them. And you did your best to nurture and love them and do whatever you can. And I think that's the most important thing. And I don't think you should be traumatized by it, as I'm not traumatized by what happened to my dogs in the past anymore. So what happens is this, is that what I wanted to share with you was this, is in the Buddhist tradition, we have a special Buddha called Medicine Buddha. And the Medicine Buddha looks exactly like Shakyamuni, except he's holding a bowl filled with healing medicinal plants, and holding medicinal plants, fruits and plants. And he's blue in color. And he's the Buddha that has many, many different types of functions, for lack of a better word. But one of the functions of this Buddha is that he is very beneficial for anything connected with animals. Example, if people find the bones or hair of animals, or even the flesh of animals, if they recite this Buddha's mantra, Teyata, Om Bekansi, Bekansi, Maha Bekansi, Bekansi, Ranzo Samukati Ye Soha, and they blow it on the hair or the bone or the flesh of the animals, dead or alive, it will benefit the animal to take good rebirth in the future. And another, this one says very clearly in his commentary. So if we love animals very much, and we have a special place in our hearts for them, we have to think of them in Buddhistic terms. And the Buddhistic terms is not just that they had a good life with us, we took care of them, and we gave them food and medicine, we gave them love, we gave them hugs, we gave them care, but we also have to think that when they eventually die, where will they take rebirth? And how will they take rebirth? And we don't have any power over that, neither do they. We don't even have power over our own rebirth. So therefore, one thing that we can ensure that they're happy in this life is that we give them our love and care, as you have, Jill. But also, for us to ensure their future lives are blessed as best as we can. And to recite the Medicine Buddha mantra onto them, dead or alive, would be very, very beneficial. So I'm going to be having Ben Kui send you a Medicine Buddha sadhana, which was compiled by His Eminence Lama Sopa Rinpoche, which we can do without any initiation. And I do that. And if you do it every single day or maybe once a week, up to you, you see your timing, it will be very good. So what you can do is you can have a Medicine Buddha image, and then you make offerings in the front. There are 5 sensory offerings. And then you can have some biscuits and crackers or whatever you like to offer. And then you can have the skin, the bones, or even a picture. If you can't get the skin and bones or whatever, or hair of a deceased animal, even a live animal, you can just take the hair. You can put it on a bowl, in a bowl, in front of the Medicine Buddha, and do this sadhana. And when you reach the mantra part, you can blow it on them, visualizing that the Medicine Buddha is blessing them, and that they will take excellent, wonderful rebirth, and that they will meet the Dharma, practice the Dharma, and become liberated in the future. And at the same time, you can think, may all animals, everywhere, be completely free from suffering, be free from murder, beatings, abuse, cold, heat, hunger, abandonment, sickness, mental pain. May they all be free from this. So when you do this sadhana, it'll be very, very powerful. So you can be kind of like the special prayer lady for animals. So you can translate the pain, the guilt, the torture, the fear, the unknowing, all these emotions you felt about the dogs that you loved in the past and about all dogs that you see suffering, the pain, the guilt, the emotions, the pity that you feel for these dogs. Instead of leaving it as those raw emotions which eat away at us, you can translate those emotions into doing Medicine Buddha Sadhana. So your fear, your pain, your guilt, your doubt of how you might have done better with your dogs, it's just there, it's just emotion. It's just raw emotion there, eating into you. So what I think you should do, and I think everybody can do this, and that's why I'm going to blog it, you can transform, translate, transmute those emotions into something very positive, which is the Medicine Buddha Sadhana. So what happens is I'm going to send you a beautiful, blessed Medicine Buddha statue. And I'm going to send you the Medicine Buddha Sadhana. And I'm going to send you a mala and a few other things. And those are going to be gifts from me for you to start your Medicine Buddha practice. And if you don't want to do the practice, it's all right also. Those are still gifts for you to bless your environment. And what happens is this, is that you can have a little shrine. And you can keep the Medicine Buddha there and your shrine objects there, make offerings. And you know, those animals that have passed away that you love, if you have the hair or any part of them, you can keep it on the shrine for them and do the sadhana and bless them. And your current dog, you can do the same thing, keep the hair there. And you can get the hairs of all the other dogs, all the other animals that you have. You can put it on this little shrine and you can do the sadhana, and you can every single day or whenever you do the sadhana, bless these animals and meditate that they will be happy, they will be healed, they'll be all right. And when some of your animals are sick or other animals are sick, you can get their picture, you can get their hair, you can put it on your little shrine, and you can do puja to send healing energies through the power of Medicine Buddha to these animals. And that'll be very beautiful. So what happens is, I think that would be very good for you. And being a dog lover, that is something that really would appeal to you. It appeals to me. Your first dog died after 8 years. Your second dog died within 24 hours of you getting this beautiful dog. And your third dog, Buddy, who died 6 months ago, well, I must say, it's very sad to know he was abused. But it was very nice to know that you gave him love toward the end of his life. So what I want you to do is to do, I'm sorry, I don't like to hear about animals being abused. It affects me quite a lot. What you can do is this. You can do the medicine Buddha Puja for your first dog that you had for 8 years. You can do the medicine Buddha Puja for the dog that you had for 24 hours. And you can do the medicine Buddha Puja for Buddy. Then if you don't have their hair, if you don't have any part of them, that's okay also. You can have their picture. If you don't have their picture, worst case scenario, write their names on a piece of paper and put it inside the bowl. All right? And you can do pujas for them. And you know what? You can do this for everybody else's dog. You can invite people to send things to you for other people's dog. Do it from your heart. Do it with a lot of love. Do a lot of care. And you know what? Medicine Buddha is not just for the dogs or for animals. It's good for you too. It's a very powerful Buddha for healing, for purification, and for wonderful, wonderful development of compassion. So this would be a good practice for you. And did you ever think that maybe these dogs are bringing you closer to the Dharma? For the kindness that you have shown them, maybe that's why we have connected in this way, that you can have the medicine Buddha sadhana and practice, and to practice for the rest of your life, to be very committed to the medicine Buddha practice. And the medicine Buddha practice would be very powerful. So what happens is this is, you can do this sadhana once a day, you can do it once a week, you can do it once a month, you think how you would like to do it, but make it a regular, consistent thing, because it would be a powerful source of blessings. The medicine Buddha sadhana will not only bless you, the dogs that you love, past and present and future, and the environment and your house and everyone. It will also bless your mind to open up, to accept compassion and love and care, and to develop these qualities like that of a Buddha. In fact, medicine Buddha's practice helps us to become a fully enlightened Buddha. It's very, very beautiful. So therefore, even if we do the medicine Buddha practice well, it protects the environment from natural disasters. So places where it's very vulnerable for natural disasters, medicine Buddha Puja is a very powerful practice to calm the whole environment and area down. Even the Nagas or the supernatural beings or the elemental beings that may reside in your area will also be blessed by the medicine Buddha. It's very nice to have a medicine Buddha statue, maybe made of stone or whatever, to put in our yard, and to have animals circumambulate, or to animals see, or to have animals connected, or even people. Of course, people. It's very, very powerful. Should you adopt more? Is it their karma to die? Do you have any control? Well, the answer is, it is their karma, those karma of the dogs to die, but it was also their karma to get some love from you before they die. If we can give a good life to an animal even one day, then let's do it. Just for one day. Let's not think about all the days we could give. Let's give them even one day, and then 2 days and 3 days, as best as we can. You don't have control over them. If it was time for them to die, you can give them the best diets, you can give them the best medicine, you can give the best care. If it's time for them to die, they will die. But that is not to excuse us for being negligent or uncaring or cold. We have to do our part, and I'm sure you are none of those. None of those. And should you adopt more, why not? Why not? You're afraid to adopt more because you're afraid of the pain. Well, there's going to be more pain. There's going to be more separation. There's going to be more sorrow. There's going to be more deaths. But I want you to turn it around and think another way. There's also going to be love and care. These animals will receive a good life. And these animals that you adopt will receive good food, warmth, compassion. So if they were to live with you for 1 year, let's just say for an example, 1 year, 10 years, whatever. Let's say that they're going to live with you for 1 year. For the 1 year that they live with you, they can have 1 year of compassion, love, warmth, and good food. Security. Wouldn't that be better than leaving them somewhere abandoned for 1 year until they die with nothing? Not much care, not much love, not much security, and hunger. If they were supposed to die after a year, Wouldn't it be better that for that 1 year you gave him the best life that you can give? So instead of thinking of your pain, which of course you feel it, and you have every right to feel it, you have to think about their pain. Sometimes when we connect with people, when we love with people, when we love people, when we connect with dogs or animals, it's very scary to connect love with them or to connect with them because you know it will end. And because things have ended in the past, the pain that you feel is very scary because you're going to feel the same pain in the future. And if you're going to feel the same pain in the future, to foresee that pain resurrects the pain that we have felt in the past. And therefore, some of us close up. Some of us just shut down. And it's not just about dogs. It could be about experience with our parents. It could be about anything. That sometimes when we want to do something new, thinking about the past makes us shut down. And we start reliving the present and future as we experience the past. And we need to break that. Why do we need to break that? Because the past was the past, and the future is in our hands now. So how we want to make our future according to Buddha is up to us. Because karma is open. Karma is free. Karma is neutral. And what we want to create of karma, what we want to create of our future, is in our own hands. If the future is not in our hands, there's no point to meditate. There's no point to practice or to study or to be spiritual. Why? You can't change anything anyways. You can't help anything. I mean, it's already fated. No. If you do nothing, it can become a situation that is unpleasant. If we do something, it can become a situation that is pleasant. Unpleasant or pleasant. If we don't do something, it can become an unpleasant situation or remain an unpleasant situation or become one, or it was going to be one and it remains that way. But if we do something, it can be different. It can change. It can be pleasant. So we need to empower ourselves by knowing that Buddha said, karma is created by us. We are the creators of our future. It is in our own hands. No God, no deity, no one out there can change our future if we don't do something. They can only teach us, they can only show us by example, but they can't give it to us. If they can, the whole world would be at peace and everything would be perfect. So therefore, you don't have any control, Jill. I don't have any control. And we will not have control over others, dogs, animals, sufferings. But you know, it's better to love and to care and to try than to keep reliving the past. Because some animal, somebody, some situation might need you. And if you put your influence into this, if you put your energy into this, something might be changed for the better in the future. And that's what we need to live on. We need to have that kind of hope. So therefore, what you asked me a question, should you adopt an animal again? Well, I can't tell you what to do, but if I was you, I would. If I was you, I would kind of go and start saving animals, helping out at shelters. I would maybe, you know, contribute to animal shelters in any way that I can. I would perhaps maybe start a blog, create animal awareness. I would start teaching people to care and love animals and creating a lot of awareness. I think I would do that. Because in your letter, you have an outpouring of tremendous love and care and compassion for dogs. Well, they need you. They need you. So I think that would be something good for you to perhaps consider in the future, to bring this to another level, that the pain that you have felt, to not leave it where it is and not bring it to no fruitioning, but to bring this pain to another level, to bring this pain to something bigger and higher and more beneficial. Those dogs are gone, and I know you love them. But there's so many more out there who need your love. And I don't think you can adopt every single one of them, but if you create awareness of these animals, you can make a difference in their lives through other people. So that's my thinking for you that I thought I'd share. And like I said, I had to film this because it'd be just too much to write. I will do prayers for the three lovely dogs that have passed away for you. And I will get Banqui to send the items to you. And they are a gift for you from my heart because you are a fellow dog lover. Remember, we have two things in common. You love animals and Buddhism, and so do I. So we have something in common right there. So from one person to another person is a gift. Now, remember what I explained about the sadhana? And if you have any questions, you can contact Banqui and my people. They'll be very happy to help you. I wish you the best. I send my greetings to your husband also. And I wish you peace. And I request you to do more for dogs. Any way that you can. And it's going to be painful. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be really, really, really painful. But let's not think about our pain. Let's think about their pain. Let's not think about what we might feel. Let's think about what they are experiencing. Let's take our raw fear and emotions and project it. No, transmute it, not project it. Transmute it and transform it into something beautiful and positive, which is to save animals, save dogs. And that's what you have been doing. I wish you good luck. And I wish you success and happiness. And please continue to study the Dharma. Please study the Wheel of Sharp Weapons. Please study the Lama Rim. Any teachings by His Holiness the Dalai Lama, get it and read it. It's wonderful. Please look into the 8 Verses of Thought Transformation. Please look into talks on the 3 Principal Paths. Look into it and study. Since you like Dharma, liking it is one thing. Knowing it is another. Practicing is another. And the last but not least, most important, is gaining the results. When we gain results, we could be a benefit to others, dogs, people, animals, sentient beings, much, much more. So I wish you luck. If you decide to do the medicine Buddha practice, in any case, I wish you luck. Thank you.